listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Broken glass in the hallway, bloodstained floors, neighbors look at every bag bringing through the doors. Lock the top lock, mama should have cuffed me to the radiator. Why not? It might have saved me later from my block. NY cops, hookers crawling off the stroll, coughing, stitches in their hair, stinking, and I'm dread thinking what they be snitching. But who else could it be? Shook at these, a Mark Benz, parked in the dark, knocks with your heart. Hustlers starve, they bust a UE jog. To my building, come out later wearing camouflage. See the sergeant and the captain strangle men, niggas gasping for air till they move no more and just stare with dead eyes. Tired of riots, shit is quiet. Simple-minded fools infiltrating grimy crews. Overcrowded cribs, uncle home from beers. Sisters pregnant, fathers on drugs. Mama smoking beds is piss infested. Had eight partners growing up. Eight turned to seven. Seven turned to six niggas. Got two in heaven. Six of us holding it. Now it's rolling thick. Six ones parole flip. Now it's five niggas went to four quick. Hey, welcome to the Black Out Tips podcast. Y'all's Rod and...
Yeah, that's the longest rap ever.
Yeah, that verse was written weirdly, the spacing, I mean, that I copied and pasted it with. Anyway, long verse, y'all welcome. We back on a Tuesday, the Black Out Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, just search for us, leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, and we'll read them on the show as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. All right, and that 5-star review thing is serious, guys. We didn't get any for iTunes this week. That's first time in forever, man. Come on. Like, are we running out of steam? I see my bandwidth getting eaten up more this month than any other motherfucking month.
Right.
So I don't know who these extra folks that's listening, but you know, y'all niggas leave a 5-star review. You ain't special. It's official weapon of the show is
the taser.
Over just for it.
Bullet ball.
The bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 622 that Bobby Shmurda is locked up in jail. We try and get him out. Free Bobby, man. Mm-hmm. $2 million bail. We can't lower that. Come on, man.
Right.
Y'all won't let him work to earn his keep.
Right.
All right. A bunch of stuff is happening, man. Two quick things. One, I was talking to Will. People that have been listening to the show a long time, y'all know Will. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Will, and he saw my niece doing gymnastics. So he was like, hey, does your niece do gymnastics? And I said, I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't actually know.
I don't think she does.
You know, who knows what all she could be enrolled in.
Right.
I mean, that girl can do just about everything.
Anything. All right. I'm looking for her to be in cheerleading, track, basketball, everything.
Yeah. So he was like, you sure, man? Cause they said her first name was Layla. I was like, yeah, that's not, I don't think that's her, dog. He was like, all right, man. So, then he sent me a picture of this girl doing gymnastics, right? And I said, that's not her because her hair isn't long enough. Also, I gotta delete this whole conversation off my phone now for somebody to get the wrong idea. I don't want a little girl in a leotard on my phone, dog. Like, what are you doing? It's like, let it. Then he was like, I don't want to ask her if her uncle is wrong. And I was like, just let it go. Please, just let it go. Do not send me anything else.
Y'all gonna be under investigation, you and right. Me and
both. That's how you end up on motherfucking To Catch a Predator. You know they coming back.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, Chris Hansen show. It's coming back.
Twitter will be lit. The live tweet gonna be off the chain.
You know,
not even gonna be as fun no more.
I used to think that, but now I think everybody's too woke, mm-hmm. And you got the woke Olympics, and
right, cause
nobody wants to be silly, and now it's gonna be these poor pedophiles. Like, we've come that far in the last 5 to 6 years that we're now fully on board with the, if you laugh at these pedophiles, something's wrong with you. You the real pedophile. Cause everybody's like pulling, like everybody's too fucking woke now.
Yeah, cause I remember that they used to be lit when that came on live.
It's like, I can't laugh at an entrapped pedophile now. I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, man. What is life at this point when even the pedophile get to think pieces? I'm like, God damn. Did we take this thing too far, everybody? I mean, shit. But yeah, so I don't know, but it is coming back. And then the second thing was, after we had lunch yesterday, I went to the grocery store, mm-hmm. And I was shopping for dinner that night because something that went wrong with the Blue Apron thing. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we didn't give them free advertising on the show. At any rate, something went wrong with that, so I had to get us dinner and stuff. And while I was shopping, I was getting some new cereal because I noticed you haven't been eating the granola cereal. Oh no, it's granola bar cereal. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you don't like it because that's the only time cereal lasts more than 2 days. So I went and bought some different cereal for you.
It's almost like snacky food. It's not like cereal.
I don't know. I like it, but I went and bought some different cereal for you. While I was getting it, this woman came over to me, and I had my headphones in, you know, as I do. Mm-hmm. I had my headphones on, and I had a Black Love shirt on. It was it has a heart and then the word black in the heart, right? And I had my shades on, they're shaped like hearts. So sometimes people stop me and they're like, oh, where you get that shirt from? Or mm-hmm. Oh, I love your shades, or whatever, you know, stuff like that, right. So I'm in the store, and this woman comes over to me, and I couldn't hear because my headphones was in, so I like took my headphones out. My assumption is that she was gonna be like, where'd you get your shirt from, or something like that,
because that's normally what happens after that first question, right?
Yeah. I thought maybe like she had said my name. I wasn't sure.
Trying to figure out.
Yeah. Right. So then she was like, are you Rod? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, cool. I'm Angelica. I'm a fan of your show. I love y'all's work. Da, da, da. She's the woman who designed our website.
Right.
So I didn't even know, that it was her, because I knew she lived in North Carolina, but not, you know, anywhere close.
Me either.
And so, yeah, it was just cool, man. We just talked for a little bit. It was, you know, my first time running into a fan by myself, really. We just talked for a little bit and it was weird because at the end I was like, am I supposed to take a picture with I didn't know if I was being a jerk. I didn't want to be presumptuous, like, I know you want a picture or nothing. Mm-mm. But I was like,
for my own memories,
right? But I was thinking, like, this is so cool, we should take a picture, you know, just to commemorate this and stuff. And I took a picture with her, and then I posted on Twitter and Instagram. I was gonna post it on my Facebook, but that's when I was in my 24-hour ban period of Facebook. Mm-hmm. Already back, so happy trolling, I guess. Good job, troll.
I guess so.
at any rate, it was just a cool moment, man. She was a really nice woman, and all that stuff, man. And everybody was just like, what a crazy ass coincidence or whatever. Small world, man.
It is a lot smaller than people think it is.
Yeah, internet making it smaller one day at a time, man.
I clear.
All right, that was all the story time we had. And this fan sound is killing me. Can y'all hear this?
I don't know if they can.
Fan sound? I don't know if it's loud enough to pick up on the mics. I hope not.
I'm trying to make my way back in.
Oh, you got kicked out?
It keeps refreshing, so I'm trying to remember. I might just shut it down and bring it back up.
All right, well, I'll keep talking. No. Also, you know, news continues to happen. And
no, it never stops. Never, never, never.
We continue to cover the news here at the Blackout Tips.
We do.
I guess the first thing is there still tends to be a lot of pushback on Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Just all over the place. It's really kind of ridiculous at this point.
Come on, dog.
Who hasn't chimed? T.O. chimed in. Jerry Rice chimed in. Both of them said some All Lives Matter shit, which was amazing. And some dude on Twitter was saying, like, well, it's just their culture. They're just trying to fit in because they want to play it safe. Number one, you can't bring that up and Terrell Owens in the same sentence.
Come on, dog.
When has Terrell Owens ever been about fitting in and playing it safe? All lives matter at this point. If you're saying that, especially if you're a black celebrity, it's either just a complete, just you have a disconnect from the black community because of your money and fame and access it has provided you, or you just have complete animosity towards black people and the fact that they will be protesting and shit. You know, there's no in between. You're either clueless or it's purposeful. And it can be purposeful because you're just like, I want the love of white people, and that's what you think will get it. Or it could be purposeful because you just hate black people that much. Either way, it's fucked up and it's wrong to bring that shit up. And I'm not gonna give it a pass just because it's y'all's favorite athletes and shit. I woke up this morning, I had 100 mentions because Jerry Rice said that All Lives Matter shit. And I will admit it was petty of me, but I went and googled Jerry Rice's scandals and started sharing the articles on Twitter so people could share them. Like, and he's a pretty clean cut dude, but like, he used to put stick them on his gloves, and he was saying that the Patriots Deflategate was like, he was basically being a hypocrite calling them out, and then 2 days later got found out he was cheating his whole career. So it was one of those situations where I just shared that shit and went to bed, went to sleep. I forgot the other scandal, something about his house or something. Anyway, man, I woke up, people was mad at me. it was a bloodbath in my mansions. I had to send out the damn Justin Timberlake, "Oh, You Sweet Soul," about damn 50 times this morning. They were mad as shit. I was like, over some Jerry Rice, he don't even play no more.
Right, he retired, y'all know he don't play no more, right?
Right. Oh man. And then Drew Brees said some shit, so then I had sent out some stuff about Drew Brees, and then Tony Stewart said some shit, and I just retweeted him and said, "Didn't you kill somebody on the track? You should probably
you should opt out of this." I mean, not trying to be like, he should have been the last person to say anything, dog.
Someone said Hines Ward said something. I know Tiki Barber said something.
Ain't nobody asking these people opinion. They just blurting them out just because they feel like talking today.
Right. And the thing is, like, even if they ask your opinion, if you want to be safe, you just don't say nothing, right?
Right.
I mean, just don't say anything. Just
right. Just like you quiet about all the dead black bodies in the street. Just like you quiet about all the black women being killed, LGBTQ, like, you don't say jack shit. It's crickets. Why can't it continue to be crickets then?
And if you say, "I agree with his points, but I don't think he should have went about it this way," two follow-up questions that no one's asking: how should he have went about it? And number two, if you agree with his points, how come you never said anything about it?
Right.
You know, so white people are trying their best, because that's the thing about the culture of celebrity and personality, man. Sports culture is pretty much the same shit. There were white people and maybe some black, I didn't see them, but they were white people trying to defend these people because they were fans of them in football. Mm-hmm. And one dude was even like, well, he spoke out when Will Smith got killed. Now, Will Smith was another player on the Saints who got killed in a traffic altercation by another black man. I was like, that's him speaking on the loss of a friend and a teammate is not the same as Black Lives Matter. It's not what Colin Kaepernick is talking about. Like, stop trying to conflate the issue when you know that that's not what it is. Come you on, know dog. So yeah, that was just ridiculous, man. I thought it was extremely fucked up that anybody saying anything, because at least saying anything and then not recognizing that their freedom is protected by the same shit that he's talking about, and mm-hmm. especially not addressing his initial point. You know, stop trying to throw the soldiers in front of it and shit.
Because his point, nobody gave a fuck about his point.
Right. Everything was really about
everything else.
Yeah. I just don't want him to, he don't protest that way. They went and dug up his biological mother, who gave him up for adoption, to get her opinion on it.
Why? What has she got to do with anything?
And she's white, gave away that black baby. I don't know why, but she said he's bringing shame to his country by refusing to stand for the anthem, while another, like, that they had an amputee veteran that also joined the, you know, shit talking.
I guess my thing is this: he not at one period of time that he said fuck the veterans. So why are we bringing veterans? Why are we bringing soldiers? Why are we bringing up the flag? Like, he didn't say anything about any of that.
Yeah, first he said, "Next time I hear the national anthem, I'll be sure to stand for the both of us, since you feel that you've been oppressed." The next morning, he says, if a cop shoots someone, and it's usually because that person put the other officer's life in danger. And yet these criminals become saints to the black community. That's the problem. They are glorifying the thug life. So that fuck is? That guy.
Who's that is?
That veteran dude. He's like an amputee. So he decided to get on his soapbox.
They don't care. All he did was bring racism out of a lot of people that was already there.
Right. So Donald Trump said something about Kaepernick. Like, if you don't like this country, then move. It's like, aren't your whole campaign based on not liking this country though?
Right. Your whole, everything you stand for is this country is bad. It's the worst. Let's take it back. Let's bring it back to the good old days. That's your whole motherfucking platform, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, how's your platform? Fuck this country. It's not great. And then you get mad at a dude for being like, yeah, this country is kind of fucked up. I'm like, well, you still stand for that flag though.
Nah, it's just white folks said niggas can't say shit.
Yeah, it was I feel like the undertone of the whole last 2 weeks has been niggers, there's no racism. Now shut the fuck up. Stand for that flag.
Correct.
You know, just get your ass up and you stand, boy. Okay, now you stop bringing up this racism that doesn't exist. Your jigaboos and your thugs and your coons. I'm getting tired of this shit. We are trying to have a nice, peaceful meeting of the Klan. And here you go, fucking it up. Like, it's just too much, man. The other thing is I still can't help but notice a similarity between so many of these responses and so much of the shit that black dudes who are still mad at me, by the way, had to hit them with a couple of oh you sweet souls a day too, even though it's been about 5 days since I tweeted out that tweet. It's funny that the responses mirror each other so much. Why are you being divisive? Why are you bringing this up? Well, if you were gonna say this, this is not the time. It was like a whole lot of just it's really shut up in a very not so nice way. But yeah, it's just a whole lot of people bringing up bullshit that, you know, to take Kaepernick down. Bullshit that nobody agrees with, and they have no right to speak because they don't live our existence as black people on this planet. So how the fuck would they know? You know, not to mention the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner is apparently racist. Mm-hmm. Yep. Apparently it gets a little dicey after you get to the third verse. It switches from the land of the brave and the home of the free to no refuge for the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, and the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. So yeah, not exactly the let's all get together rah rah sis boom bah. Anyway, I'm not even sure why we play it at sporting events if we're being real, you know. And also, it feels like white people are having this moment of thinking, like, when a dude finds out the woman he's been having sex with for a long time isn't coming. Like, that's how they are looking at black people right now. Like, how dare you? Like, they can't believe that when we stand for the anthem and we put our hands over our hearts, we are standing for completely different reasons than they are. Like, and obviously not every single black person, not every single white person, but we are standing for a flawed democracy, but we believe in the ideals of trying to get better and improve. You know, our ancestors that fought for this, the ancestors that died for this, not just in civil rights and not just in slavery, but like in the military and shit, there's black veterans, you know. There's like, it's not like, you know, when you talk about veterans, it's only some white people sitting around. Like, it's, you know, black people had to fight for the right to die for this country. So it's funny watching them come to this realization that we don't all hold the same individual values because our experiences in America are not the same. So while you may find that there's some type of spirituality and power in this unquestioning patriotism, that is not what black people are going to find for the most part. At least any historically aware black person is going to say there's a strength to what we do as a nation and the way that we're able to come through, but we fight for that. You fight for progress. You fight for every inch that you can get, because honestly, you're just never guaranteed your rights here. You know, it's like when people used to write in our show and ask us to talk about like drones and shit, and we'd be like, yeah, how about we work on not getting killed by the police first, because our priorities are different. Like, you can get angry about drones and I understand your righteous indignation and stuff, but you're not, our hierarchy of needs are not met to the point where we would just be like, all right, cool. So I think that's a huge part of it as well. Like, this discovery that, hey, apparently black people are mad at the country, and they kind of think Kaepernick has a point to some extent. You know, even rich black people are, you know, that, like, sadly, the ones that seem to have be against Kaepernick are mostly these rich black men that have some access and some power and some money, and they're like, yep, the oppression ain't real, I don't know what's he doing, all lives matter to me. So this is some sad shit.
It is. I even seen, what is it, Richard Sherman came out and was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
We was watching a clip of him on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, but we'll see what's going to happen 3, 4, 5 months from now when something else happened. When they put a microphone in your face, how you respond?
I mean, he seems to support Colin Kaepernick's protest and all that shit. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just really eye-opening, because to me, what it really, the real message is, for the most part, a lot of white people just do not even think of us when they have their hands over their heart. They don't think of the flaws of this country at all. They don't think about the experiences anyone has had in this country except themselves, and they think even bringing that up is divisive as fuck. And that's sad,
right? Because the whole country, as far as they're concerned, is about them and their history. Like, right. Nobody else's history matters. And even though they did some fucked up things in history, Dan won't talk about that. Like, and I remember you saying this, and I do agree with you. The only reason why they kind of sort of keep slavery in the history books, because it was the quote-unquote redeemable story.
Yeah.
If the Civil Rights Acts and all that shit hadn't passed, they wouldn't have given a fuck about that either. But, you know, we changed, y'all. Did you really?
Yeah, it's a way to, you know, it's really a way to teach us acceptable black role models in their, at least bastardized versions of them. So that
watered down version.
Yeah, just one dimensional Martin Luther King is Jesus, you know, type of depictions for us to go, okay, we are sated now. We're not angry. You know, now we've learned enough black history, and this history you learned is to be docile, to be beaten until you guys feel bad about it. That's what they want us to learn. And that's, you know, and sadly, that's what a lot of people are learning. You know, when you see these other guys come out and talk about it's all lives matter and shit, it's just like, yo, the money and the fame and all this shit is just completely, just disconnected you, you know?
Right, when you still got family members that were around when Martin Luther King got shot. And, you know, my mom and them tell me stories about how kids would, like, beat them when Martin Luther King, like, white children would beat them, talking about, where's your Jesus now, and right, shit like that, and your savior is dead, and what are you gonna do? Those feelings did not disappear, y'all.
Yeah, I've been watching, you know, that war documentary by Ken Burns, and I got to the chapter about segregation during the World War II, and just the resilience of black people would never cease to amaze me. I mean, black people, because the military didn't really want them in there, but they were, so many people were dying, they had no choice.
Right.
So they had to start accepting black people. And what they would do is write rules so to limit them from getting bigger positions, mm-hmm, you know, try to make sure that people didn't get, too much money, they didn't give them enough barracks or enough housing. Like at one point, I forget, it was either South Carolina or Alabama, where they built 15,000 new living areas. So they built 14,000 for white people and 1,000 for black people. And the city housed like 15,000 black people. So, you know, it's like they constantly were doing, you know, they made these people, keep in mind, you are fighting to, the fight you're having is to be able to volunteer to go die. Essentially, you're fighting for the right to go die. And whiteness is so fragile. They didn't even want to give them the opportunity to go die because it would give them the opportunity to be heroes. Mm-hmm. And that hero-ness, that glory, that battle, they didn't want to share that. That's how fucking fragile it was. And that's so scary to me, you know, but they would burn down shit. There was straight up race riots. They killed people, like in South Carolina and stuff. They killed people. Like everything you can imagine, you know, the Marines wouldn't let black people in. And then of course everybody, once you got in, they started putting you in segregation, putting you in your separate units. Mm-hmm. There was a military vessel that was all black, and the only white person on there, the highest ranking officer.
I believe that.
So it was funny. I think it was called the USS Mason or something like that. And it just had, like, it was just such like bullshit. But that's the connection we have with this country. It's not one that white people will ever understand.
Nope.
For the most part, they don't understand that for us to be patriotic, for us to believe in this country, is so much of a bigger deal because of what our people had to go through in order to attain the value that we deserve.
Right. And still fighting for the value that we deserve.
Yeah, it's like they can't possibly relate to it. They don't understand that.
Like, why aren't you grateful? Why aren't you thankful? You like, bitch, for what?
Yeah, our love for this country is a deeper one because it's not superficial and artificial. Right. Like that. You know, it's not just about, you know, proclaiming this is the greatest country and with having no understanding. Like, it's one thing to say this is the greatest country when, as far as you're concerned, it's all been kind of flowing in your direction.
Right.
It's another thing to say this is the greatest country on the earth when you've had the boot on your neck, you know, when you've had, you know, the heel of the boot in on your back and you still found a way to persevere. That, like, that is greatness. And, you know, I always say the black story in America is the most American story. There's no story more American than us, you know. As far as, you know, obviously after Indigenous Americans, who they mm-hmm. wiped the fuck out, but
come on, dog.
If we're gonna look at the defining story of what white people did to America, you gotta look at Indigenous Americans, and you have to look at slavery. You have to look at black people, because you can't have this story. You can't even have the wealth that we accumulated. You can't have the power we accumulated. Like, this country had the biggest leg up over everybody, you know. It just came over here with all these resources and free labor, you know, and killing the motherfucking people that were there.
Labor.
Like, they just didn't care, you know. So we have the most American story, you know. Nobody has a more American story than us, you know.
Right. And it's one of those things too, to where people wonder why black people, well, not all, but most black people are like, I can't afford Trump. Because it's like, okay, that same rhetoric, that same language ain't nothing new. And every time that rhetoric and language comes up, we are never the beneficiaries of these people once these people get in power. You know, brown people always end up suffering. It always end up getting worse for us. And it's just one of those things where we're not that far removed from slavery. I don't know why everybody act like slavery was thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Nah, some of y'all got family members that if y'all sat down, this is 100 something years old, 80, 90 years old, if y'all sit down and talk to them, they can tell you. I have family members. My mama can tell me about the Jim Crow laws here in North Carolina, separate bathroom, cluttered bathrooms and shit like that. Like, we got family members that are still alive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this history isn't quote unquote as old as they want to pretend like it is. And it's also one of those things where I continue to push back on a lot of people when they want to erase that history, because it's one of those things where, dog, we live in a state where I know that if a lot of these people could have their way, even across the country, we go back to slavery if a lot of these folks had their way. And I understand that, and I know me and people like me would be out here fucking picking cotton and shit like that, and the same people that squat on social media would still be quiet walking past us enjoying their lives.
Yeah. It's funny too, because I mean, just sitting during the national anthem, that's not even that big a deal to me. No. I mean, Chris Lambert takes a shit during the national anthem, okay? Like, he actually yeah, he actually will take a shit right during the national anthem every time. He'll excuse himself to the bathroom. So I mean, that's way, you know, I'm way more woke than Kaepernick, in my opinion, because, you know, I sit down like before the anthem, I sit down during the anthem, I sit down during the whole game. Like, a lot of times I see him standing, he's standing on the sideline waiting to get back in the game for the defense to do their job so the offense can get back on the field. Like, nobody's mad at me, you know. I mean, it could be worse. At least he didn't come out against Mary Jane's hair color in the new Spider-Man movie, because that would have really just been too much.
That'd have been way too much.
Have you been seeing the advertisement for these new movies? They got one with Tom Hanks. It's about Sullenberger, Captain Sullenberger, the dude who the plane in New York where it got hit by like geese in the engine, and then he landed in the New York River and nobody died.
One for that.
Yeah, I saw that one.
A hot 3 minute, 5 to 10 minute transaction. Y'all gonna make an hour and a half out of it?
My favorite part about, first of all, it's probably gonna be 2.5 hours because it's Tom Hanks. My favorite part of that preview though is it goes, "Go see it in IMAX." I was like, he was in the air for 45 seconds. I'm not seeing that in IMAX.
And didn't Denzel already make this movie?
Yeah, I think he, well, Flight, but, I didn't, I don't yeah, know, I didn't not, see
not,
Flight.
Not identical to it, but, you know, Captain, something tragic happened, it becomes news, and we make a 2.5 hour movie out of it.
Didn't see Flight, but sure. Mm-hmm. I know it was a nigga in a plane.
That's all I know, yes.
Then they was asking him about drinking. But yeah, and then I saw another one for, this movie. It was about I think it's called Morgan. And it was about a creature that was powerful and it refuses to age or die. And it wasn't about Morgan Freeman. It was about a white girl named Morgan. That was like a science experiment or something. And I don't want to see that either. That shit looks corny.
No, I know. I seen the one where you're talking about where the dude went in there and talked to her. Yeah, I don't want to see that either. No.
Yeah, so it was pretty whack.
You can keep this. You want me to tell you my motto? If I don't want to see a scary Halloween movie and not in October, it ain't gonna be good.
Yep. Chris Brown apparently is having a standoff with the police.
Oh, what happened?
He was accused of putting a gun to a model's head, and then she called the police. And I don't know how much stuff is true and stuff, because it's all on the internet and it's all on the fly,
right?
And it's involving the police and involving Chris Brown, which is two notoriously not reliable sources.
Come on, dog.
But apparently he surrendered just now after an 11-hour standoff with cops at his $4 million mansion. He emerged with a lawyer at the police surrounded his home when he held a gun to a beauty queen's head, in quotes. Cause
he emerged with a lawyer. Did he push the lawyer and lawyer pop on the other side of the telephone? What's happening here? Is lawyer in the back pocket?
Well, he was having a party at the time, so I don't know if his lawyer was there or what.
May have been.
Apparently, the police obtained a search warrant related to an earlier incident where a former beauty queen claims he pointed a gun at her. I think she was like a Miss California or something. Apparently they were sparked by a 911 call around 3 a.m. on Tuesday when former Miss California Regional 2016 Bailey Curran, who claimed a raging Brown had pointed a gun at her during the argument. Emerging from the mansion, Brown took off a sweatshirt, had on a white t-shirt before putting on a red baseball cap around 2:43 p.m. Pacific time. The singer then sat on the ground in front of the door to the home as officers stood nearby. Brown appeared to be relaxed and seemingly calm about the current situation as he is not in handcuffs. The award-winning singer went back into the home around 3 p.m. During a press conference in the afternoon, authorities said Brown was cooperating with the Los Angeles Police Department. So I guess they didn't arrest him, even though he surrendered. LAPD Robbery Homicide Division detectives are executing a search warrant on the property as Brown's entourage and about a half dozen people were standing outside of the home being interviewed by authorities. And then there's pictures if you guys want to see what everybody looks like involved in this. He was going on Instagram, going live and stuff.
Meanwhile on Instagram,
yeah, making posts talking about Black Lives Matter and shit.
Ah, no, they do not, don't they?
This is the and of course this woman that crashed his house looks just like Becky with the good hair. I mean,
oh shit, now you got Jesus. A picture.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, you don't see it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Becky right there. I saw somebody say he need to get him a good sister or something like that. Yeah, he ranted about it on Instagram.
So I'm sleep half the night. I just wake up. All these helicopter choppers is around. Police out there at the gate. Come on, my what the else do y'all want from me, bro? I stay out of the way, take care of my daughter, do work. I don't even ugly trifling whatever it is.
Okay.
I'm not on that, bro. I'm way too tired and I'm gonna be dealing with this bull. Y'all, every 3 months y'all got tired of me, right? It gotta be. Every 3 months y'all come up with something, bro. What is it? What's gonna be next? I'm a farter elephant. Come on, but at the same time, when I call the police for stalker people that are endangering my life, they don't come till the next day. Let somebody make a up allegation about me. And oh yeah, the whole SWAT team. My innocent. Everybody. I'm tired of hearing this. And all this new, y'all ain't doing nothing but giving me better publicity.
Oh, you got a different hat on in the second video. I don't know.
Oh, I'm about to say, how Instagram allow you to make a full video? What's happening here?
Yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. Old person.
I am.
How old is it going to be? Come on, my tired of this. Barricaded myself in my house. Have you seen my house? I'm going to barricade myself in the palace. I'm not coming out. For what? I ain't did. I ain't gonna do, and it's always gonna be police. Black Lives Matter. I don't care. Y'all gonna stop playing with me like I'm the villain out here, like I'm going crazy. I'm not. You guys got me up though. So good luck. When you get the warrant or whatever you need to do, you gonna walk right up in here and you gonna see nothing. You idiots. I'm tired of y'all. Y'all the worst gang in the world. The police. And I said it. You. And while
you know what's wild too is like, I wonder how many people are thinking that his behavior is justified, but when Corin Gaines was broadcasting with Facebook Live and shit, they were like, you know, she being unstable and shit like that. Mm-hmm. No, I know she had a gun as well, that's but irrelevant. You know, even in the video where she got arrested, I remember people being like, look how she talking to the cops and look what she's saying about them and shit, you know. But I wonder how many people feel like it's not over the line for somebody to basically be broadcasting live, fuck the police and shit. You know the police are seeing this.
And then, yeah.
Are we on my promo kick? Let me not forget to say, go stream, download, buy Grass Ain't Greener video out. Ironic how I put a crazy video out, right? And then you got a bull story. When I'm sitting over here withering away and oh, it's Brown. It's the end of the world. I don't get. I'm not running for politics. I don't get.
Running for politics. That's good.
Yeah, that's real good.
I'm not running for politics.
I ain't either, baby.
Oh, that's good.
Personal opinion. All y'all can suck a fart out my ass for all I care. What I do care about is y'all defacing.
Of course, he's smoking a Newport.
My name as a person and my character and integrity. I am a father. I am one of the best entertainers out here without bragging and trying to say, woe is me, I don't get enough credit. And all y'all know, I'm your daddy. So at the end of the day, I'm tired of. I'm up at 6, it's 7 something in the morning, talking for something I ain't do. How would you feel? This fame, I'm a real y'all.
So that was his Instagram videos. Police said they're interviewing people who are inside the home. Ray J was in the home getting a tattoo.
Oh shit, now was Princess there with him?
I don't know. I hope she was.
I hope she would. No, he ain't signed that prenup.
Yeah. She gonna be like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Working all day. I don't know why people act like that song wasn't hot.
Oh, that song was flames. I like that song.
I know y'all like to clown him now, but Ray J had a couple good songs.
Yeah, he did.
We're getting the cooperation of everyone that came out. LAPD Lieutenant Chris Ramirez said no arrest of MA Brown's attorney Mark Garagos was on the scene as the singer exited with his lawyer. Garagos told the Los Angeles Times that he was inside the home with Brown earlier before exiting with the singer, who denies any wrongdoing. Authorities would not say if they found a weapon on the property and would not comment on the accusation that the singer threw a bag out of a window with a gun and drugs inside. Yeah, I heard that rumor too, but it's like I said, it's LAPD and it's Chris Brown. Like, who the fuck is who? How you just gonna, I blindly believe either one of these parties? Like, it's just a crazy shit show.
And he's smart. He was like, you will not see me without a lawyer.
Kieran shared a video of herself on Instagram in the afternoon before deleting it. She said, do you all honestly think I wanted this, that I caused this? If somebody put a gun to your head, what would you do? Call the police. I mean, I guess that's true. Let's see what she said.
Do you all honestly think I wanted this and I caused this? If somebody put a gun to your head, what would you do? Call the police. Do you all honestly think I wanted this and I caused this?
Say what?
She on Instagram too?
She put it on Instagram and then took it down. So yeah. I don't know. She said she arrived at his house for a go-see or audition surrounding an appearance for a music video. I mean, look, I don't know. I don't watch music videos, but she doesn't seem like the type
I'm
that would be.
I'm out the loop for music videos, but I've seen music videos before.
Just looking at her, she don't seem like the type that'd be in a Chris Brown video. No disrespect.
Right. Mm-mm.
And, the story that people at the party are saying is that she showed up with a group of people trying to crash the party. She and a friend spent time in his hot tub and walked back into the house when one of Brown's friends was showing off a piece of jewelry. So what audition is she talking about then? You went to his hot tub?
I believe she did crash that party. The way it sounded, yeah, she crashed that party.
And this will be the second woman in a year that has tried to crash some shit Chris Brown was at and then accused him of getting physical. Kieran told Matt and Michelle that she was admiring a diamond cross necklace but never touched the jewelry when another man nudged her in the shoulder and warned her to step away, and that's when Chris pulled a gun. He said get the fuck out, like, I've had enough of you girls, haven't I told you girls enough? She said she's a professional equestrian, like people that like horses. She claimed she had partied with the loyal hit maker in the past. She also alleged that Brown appeared to be on drugs, alcohol during the incident. Well, them videos he put up not gonna help. Kieran claims that when she tried to leave the property, Brown's people would not let her take her phone with her unless she signed a non-disclosure agreement, but Kieran refused to sign it and left the house with a friend, and they called 911. Officers entered the property in Tarzana area outside of Los Angeles with a search warrant in the afternoon after Brown and his entourage failed to respond to repeated requests to open the door.
Yeah, you wouldn't come to my house without a warrant either.
Yeah.
Because what are you coming in here for?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people just, it's basically obviously fuck Chris Brown at this point. And I'm not going to argue that that's not a reasonable stance to have at this point. He's done a lot. But yeah, if I was in that situation, I'm not just being like, come on in, cops, when if I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I'll go do due process. Did
it, and if he did it, then I'm definitely gonna be like, don't come in.
Yeah, y'all gotta go through due process.
Yeah, so
not so you can tear my house apart. Nope.
Mm-hmm. And he's had issues with stalkers, with a stalker before. I know a woman snuck into his house and was like in his bed or some shit. So
yeah, and didn't like one of his phantoms get attacked in his home one time? Didn't read a story. Was it Chris Brown or was it somebody else that a family member was there and they somebody broke into the house thinking he was gonna be there and end up being there? They end up hiding in the closet or some shit and robbed him.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay. I don't remember. That might, sure, that wasn't Lil Wayne. It was Chris Brown.
I don't know. It might have been Lil Wayne, but I thought it was Chris Brown.
Okay. Yeah, it could be, man. I mean, either way, it could be just because, home invasion, hostage held in the closet. And a lot of times that shit happens because it's you letting these people in your house, calling your friends, and they ain't your friends, and you keep this big circle and people can invite motherfuckers because you got the $4 million playtime place.
Yeah, they probably heard it was a party, went over there and nobody was expecting her, and they was like, y'all got to go.
Yeah, Ray J, who was said to be getting a tattoo during the disagreement when it first occurred, he actually left the property before 7 a.m
smart. Ray J was like, nope,
probably went to the APT. Probably told Princess, I never should have did that. Mm-hmm. He also posted a video on his Instagram. Damn, shit happened. Everything just go to Instagram.
Ah, yes.
I don't have the video of this one.
Oh,
where's the video of the Ray J one? Oh man.
Now you know Ray J gonna be good.
I have he said, yo, it's Ray J, check it out. I'm real upset about today. I'm not happy with how things are handled and how people can take a false story and blow it up into something way more than it should be. You got positive people around and you looking outside and it's like a war zone for no reason. For somebody, somewhat a stranger said about something that don't got nothing to do with nothing, and to react like that so fast without knowing the facts and knowing what's up ain't cool. It's just not right. It shouldn't be like this. I support the homie Chris. I support the whole movement. I'm hearing again, man, shit got to change. It can't be like this. Every time somebody yippity yap trying to get an extra buck, and it turns around, it's all bad on us. It ain't cool. Oh, Ray J, I love you. The Love and Hip Hop star captioned the post, things with a Z, gotta change, man. Okay. This ain't cool with a K.
Is this it? Hold on.
I feel like he's writing from he's writing like in a Trapper Keeper with these captions, though. With
like the a spelling. Trapper Keeper.
Cool and things with a Z. Did he also say, I just want to drop you a line? Like, what else was he using? But yeah, he said, stay positive. Huh?
This it, hold on. Can you see that?
See what? Where? Oh, yeah, I see it. Oh, so they give you screen share now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Can I push play? Will you hear it?
I have no idea. Nope. No,
okay.
I can't.
Okay, so the audio got to be through your computer.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's how we got it set up. So,
okay, do I need to send it to you then?
Yeah, I'll just put it in the chat. I'll do it. But yeah, I just, man, Ray Jesus had to get involved, you know, and the world is better off for it, because he just wants people to love who they want to love, you know, live how they want to live. Mm-hmm. I think you sent me the research. The search results.
Oh.
That's
not the video. Hold on.
Let me see. Yeah, when I clicked on it, it just sent me to the search results.
Oh, my bad. I bring it back up. My bad.
No problem. At any rate, though, he if I can find his joint, I'll play it. But I'm sure he you know, he just wants people to get along, man. I mean, he got the indoor basketball court, the outdoor basketball court.
Yes.
I mean, he's all about peace and harmony. Not this bullshit that people are going through right now. And I absolutely do not put it past people in that like area of life to storm somebody's shit and just show up like, yep, I'm about to be at your house doing what the fuck I want to do.
Yeah, how about that, Link? Yeah, I feel you.
Let me see. I think I actually have another one. Let me see.
Yo, this Ray J. Check it out. I'm real upset about today. I'm not happy with how things are handled and how people can take a false story and blow it up into something way more than what it should be. You got just positive people around and you look outside and it's like a war zone for no reason. For somebody, some stranger said about something that don't got nothing to do with nothing, and to react like that so fast without really knowing the facts and knowing what's up ain't cool, and you know, it's just not right. It shouldn't be like this. I support the homie Chris, and I support the whole movement. I'm here, and again, man, this shit gotta change. Like, it can't be like this every time somebody yipping and yapping trying to get an extra buck. You know, it turns around and it's all bad on us.
All right, so I guess that's how Ray J feels about the situation, guys. At any rate, I'm glad nobody got killed or anything. You know, anytime there's a black person involved in a standoff, I get nervous. I'm not even gonna lie.
Me too, and I don't care who you are.
Let's see. India tells female tourists not to wear skirts as the country attempts to tackle their gang rape problems, which is now at an epidemic level. So if you're visiting India, you can't wear a skirt because...
Oh, so pants will prevent you from being raped?
According to this, Minister Mahesh Sharma was discussing tourist security in the city of Agra. He said female tourists should not venture out alone at night. Also, they should not wear short dresses or skirts. Indian culture is different from the Western, he reasoned. Declining rates of female tourism in India have taken place after a high profile gang rape. So yep, he said they give visitors a kit when they get there, and it includes safety advice for women. In that kit, they're given do's and don'ts. They're very small things like they should not venture out alone at night in small places or wear skirts. Very small things. That's a huge thing. Half of every day is a night. You know what I mean? Like, half of every 24 hours is some nighttime throughout that, you know, like, hey, men, do whatever the fuck you want. Women, yeah, so your tourism ends at 6.
When the sun go down, street lights on, you need to be in the house.
Right, street lights, okay. They should
be traveling around inside the hotel room.
They should click the photo of the vehicle number plate whenever they travel and send it to friends. He added, for their own safety, women foreign tourists should not wear short dresses and skirts. Indian culture is different from the Western. The welcome kit is among a number of measures introduced to address declining rates of female tourism in India. So
you're not gonna, you're gonna run off even more people.
I don't,
this is to address it,
right? Here's my thing. You address it by telling tourists to you gonna get raped unless you do this and this. That's not really addressing it, and it's definitely not increasing tourism.
It's gonna fall down even lower now.
Yeah, you just told me that we can't, like,
right? You told me if I had India on my bucket list, I'm gonna go ahead and scratch this off right now.
Yeah, it's like you just told me we looked into this rape thing and it's nothing we really can do. So if you could just pack some longer shirts and some pants, I think we can get to the bottom of this. So we'll see you in the fall, right? Mm-mm. Yeah, so yep, it says respect local dress codes and customs and avoid isolated areas including beaches. when alone at any time of the day. Who the fuck want to go to the beach now? Like, because how many vacations will you go, can't wait to get to the beach? Not in India. Nope. Mm-mm. It's Rape City at the beach, apparently. Yeah, so it's it's, you know, they just went on to go into some of the details, but, and then some people gave their personal accounts of touring there and stuff, so.
Right, and the thing is, I've always said this, women spend money. So with that decline, guess who ain't buying all the all the trinkets and baby dolls and, you know, little ornamental things. Not because dudes, they ain't gonna spend no money on that bullshit. You know, women go on trip, they wanna bring everybody something back and let me buy my mama a mask and, you know, like, you know, women tourists are more apt to walk through the markets and shit like that. So all of a sudden, you got a bunch of dudes that ain't buying shit. That was like, y'all, we fucking with the economy now because y'all can't give y'all dicks to yourselves.
Yeah, that's trash. Speaking of trash, we got another black man behind bars again. Recidivism in the black community. As you may remember him, as a lot of people were calling him like Dookie Hauser and shit. But it's fake Dr. Malachi Love Robinson, the teen.
Oh, that little boy.
He got arrested again.
He out here fooling more white folks.
Faces new charges of larceny between $20,000 and $100,000
and fraud. How was he getting access to so much money?
Wasn't he already in trouble though for the money in the first time? I thought they would have got him on the money even out over the medicine shit. According to the Palm Beach Post, he was arrested Monday during a court hearing where his attorney asked to be released from serving as a 19-year-old's lawyer. I feel like his attorney is like another kid, you know, with a mustache, or like two kids in a trench coat. With a hat on and some shades.
Right. Be like, we got enough suckers. We out.
Your Honor, we would like to be dismissed.
We got enough violators to last us for a lifetime.
Love Robinson was first arrested in February, charged practicing medicine without a license, fraud, theft, and faking a naturopathy license. Last month, attorneys for the so-called Dr. Love filed documents saying they are exploring the viability of a defense focused on limitations presented by the defendant's mental health. Earlier this year, he was turned down a plea deal in which he would have served 3 years in prison. Oh my. Yeah, this is bad in every facet of the way. Like, not only is he gonna end up doing some serious time behind this shit, but,
you know, money.
I remember saying it on the show a long time ago, but even when, I mean, look, far be it from me to tell people what to joke about, because I'll laugh about anything.
Yes,
and I definitely laughed at different memes and shit, but end of the day, man, he's violating people, you know.
Yep.
It's like I was telling Justin when he was making all those jokes, and I was like, okay, so if he was working on women for like maternity shit and sexual health shit, this means this dude was looking at women's vaginas, he was touching people, like, this is not okay, you know. It's some creepy shit. You know, what would you do if it was somebody you knew or something? If
you don't put your hands on them.
Yeah, if you can't have empathy for strangers, what if it was somebody you knew? You wouldn't be okay with this little motherfucker doing that.
Mm-mm. And if you one of his patients, you definitely won't put your hands on them.
Neil deGrasse Tyson went in on a conservative columnist. Apparently, this conservative columnist and radio host, Neil Larson, had to quit writing his column on... in an Idaho newspaper after he made the news for being called out by Neil deGrasse Tyson over a factual error.
What happened? What did he say?
Basically, something that happens to everybody who's familiar with the internet. He got tricked by one of those clickbait blogs that claimed that Neil deGrasse Tyson insulted a 9-year-old girl on Twitter.
Oh, that would never. I don't believe that.
Yeah. Well, of course you don't believe it. It didn't happen. It's fake. He wrote a whole column about it.
Oh, so somebody didn't do their research.
Yeah, it was on a website called Clickhole. Neil deGrasse.
Oh, so mm-hmm. Clickhole, similar to Cuckhole, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know it's not the same, but.
It's not even spelled the same.
But, and I understand that, but it's like you're going down a rabbit hole of sites that ain't real.
Cuckhole is very real.
Well, yes, Cuckhole,
that site is definitely going to lead you somewhere to some real shit.
Oh,
Clickhole is a satirical site like The Onion.
Oh, I thought you meant cuckold, like cuckold.com, like you're poking fun.
That's, I don't know.
That might be extra site. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if that's a joke site, then that's news to me. I haven't gone there, looked it up.
I don't want to. My bad.
Even worse, DeGrasse Tyson commented on the article and thoroughly debunked his column. You abrogated your journalistic integrity by not verifying what you read in somebody else's article before using it as a foundational pillar in yours. Larson acknowledged the error in his final op-ed, adding that he apologized to DeGrasse Tyson for his mistake, but he also complained about the amount of attention his failed attack received. For those in the national spotlight, this is probably old hat, but I wasn't equipped to handle the influx logistically or emotionally.
A word.
His feelings was hurt.
Right.
If anyone has sent a kind word or more gentle constructive criticism, I apologize because I probably missed it in the onslaught of hate.
Right. The journalist is white. It's journalist white, I'm asking.
Yeah, he's a conservative, white dude.
You write an article. And like, and my biggest thing, who, what, when, where, why, how, nobody does that anymore. You don't have editors to look over shit before shit is published. You don't have fact checkers. You done got rid of all them motherfuckers too. You give somebody a sign and a log on and you say go. And so you put shit out there. You didn't do your research. Your shit was wrong. He called you out. And you didn't know how to handle that. So if you was right, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah, my thing is, it's Neil on Neil violence.
Yeah, it is.
Neil Larson, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I don't like this. Secondly, he wrote a hit piece. Like, don't fall for the,
you wrote
I was factually inaccurate. No, you wrote a, Neil deGrasse Tyson is a horse's astrophysicist. Like, you were trying to clown him.
Oh, being cute, being vocabulacious and shit.
Yeah, you were trying to go at him and knock him down a peg. And you were just wrong. And then when people joked you, which is probably more than anything, I guarantee you.
Yeah, your peers and shit.
Cause I guarantee you the clapback that he received wasn't a bunch of, I'ma kill you, I'ma rape you, I'ma, you know.
No, cause he a man, he ain't gonna get threatened like that.
Right, you're right. And he's a white dude. Like, it wasn't a nigger, it wasn't a bunch of that shit. It was, but that was the kind of trolls he wanted to send towards the Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm sure of it.
Right.
Speaking of which, I got told to kill myself this morning twice, so shout out to y'all still mad over that tweet. But yeah, it's funny that, he didn't get those threats, you know, he just got people clowning him, and white people are so fragile with this internet shit, a lot of times just getting clowned to them, they act like I'm the real victim here when you courted everything that happened to you. I mean,
right, if you hadn't,
you could have said nothing.
If you hadn't wrote the article, you wouldn't have. And my thing is, let's say if Neil wouldn't have said anything and let you roll with this article, you'd have been all good and you'd have still touted your false information out there.
Yeah, he's still keeping his radio show, which is probably how his bread is buttered in the first place.
Right.
But you know, he's quitting his column.
All right, because you're a fucking joke now. Nobody's gonna take you serious.
Right. So yeah, he said, I had no recourse, no comparable media platform at my disposal. It was as terrible and as helpless as you can imagine. Even more disappointing, a few people that I honestly thought were friends shared online my unfortunate story with glee.
That wasn't your friend, sweetie.
And they probably was your friends, but this shit is funny because you're a fucking idiot. I mean, hey, the internet ain't got no roofs.
No, it don't.
All the way all that. Ain't no roofs on the internet, boy.
Like you said, they probably clowned you. That's what that is.
Oh yeah, that's all. It's real simple what happened to them. Amazon has introduced 30-hour work week for some employees, and they still get to keep the benefits of full-time workers.
Okay, but you got 10 less hours though.
Yeah, that's fine, but normally when you have below 40-hour work week, they cut your benefits. And that's one of the reasons
that's true.
It sucks, and it's one of the reasons that jobs where you work at, where jobs that do that to you, you end up getting screwed, you know?
Right, because you don't end up getting a lot of benefits, and they actually watch that relatively tight to be sure more to send you home early and shit if you're going to get anywhere close to those times. So that makes sense, and it'd be one of the things where, technically, the way our work week worked, that we consider part-time, So basically, you could be like, quote unquote, a kind of similar part-time worker to get full-time benefits.
Right. And okay. Maybe you can get another job if you don't want that, or maybe, you know, but the point is,
you get benefits.
Yeah, they still keep the same benefits as full-time staff. You have insurance, you have mm-hmm. 401k, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The pilot program, because it's just a pilot program right now, it includes a few dozen people working in the technical department right now. The announcement follows intense criticism of their working culture in a 2015 New York Times investigation. So there's kind of response to that.
They say they were working people to death.
Right. Amazon already employs part-time staff, but the scheme will break new ground by involving whole teams, including managers working at a reduced schedule. These employees will receive 75% of a 40-hour worker's pay. So, you know, the money will still be, you know, less than if it was a 40-hour work week, but then they'll get the, you know, then they'll get the benefits that they wouldn't have got with a 30-hour work week.
Right. That's basically, you know, in their mind, that compensate for a 40-hour work week.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concept that somebody needs to try.
Right. And I wish more jobs would do that. That's something Walmart and all these other places need to do. Because a lot of people, like you said, they fall in that 30-hour range. And, you know, yeah, you work 30 hours, but you qualify for none of the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we got going. Why some women don't feel pleasure during sex. If you scour the internet for sex stuff as much as I do, you come across countless pleas that from women who say, I don't feel anything when they have sex. Most of these women are new to partnered sex, but some of them have been going at it since Frasier was still on the air. And some of them have tried masturbating, but still don't feel anything. Even when I'm aroused, I get no pleasure whatsoever. Masturbating does nothing for me either, said one girl on the sex education website Scarlatine. We were made only to pleasure men or something, because I'm pretty sure 99.9% the guy feels good. Ask a poster on Yahoo Answers. I don't know how accurate Yahoo Answers is, but okay. We tend to think of sex.
Ask Jeeves too.
Right. You know, Yahoo Answers has some pretty wild stuff on there. We tend to think of, sex in pretty reductive terms, almost as though the human body were a vending machine. Insert the right coinage, push the right buttons, and out pops an orgasm. But what's a girl to do when that Snickers bar gets stuck inside the machine? Why do some women report feeling nothing during sex? The key thing for women to achieve any kind of sexual pleasure is that women need to feel like they're safe, said Dr. Tammy Nelson, according to Getting the Sex You Want, her book. That's the name of the book, Karen. Who has another mechanical analogy for women's sexual pleasure? Women are like antivirus protection systems. They'll shut down if they feel like something's threatening the system. Sexual response is regulated by a host of neurotransmitters, including the cyclic gonosine monophosphate, which is CGMP, which is the same substance that helps make boners happen. Mm-hmm. CGMP functions similarly to in the clitoris, causing it to swell with blood and pop out of its little house. The body simply will not enjoy itself if it's not getting the right instructions from the brain and the endocrine system. Extending this woman as a computer metaphor even further, I asked Nelson and sex expert Dr. Emily Morse how they could troubleshoot a woman who's not feeling pleasure. Masturbation is one of the best ways for women to get back in touch with their primary sexual desires and fantasies, said Morse. She has to stoke her own fires to remember what it feels like without the pleasure from a partner. It's like getting back into a workout routine. Finding out what feels good and what doesn't takes time. Your clitoris will probably be involved, as it is the only organ in the human body that functions exclusively to provide feelings of pleasures. But some clits are so sensitive that direct stimulation is painful. And according to Nelson, many women forget to involve the rest of their body in the experience. You're going in for the kill, gunning for the genitals, and you need to start on your outskirts, she says. It's a slow burn instead of starting a fire. A 1994 study suggests that breathing deeply and moving more during sexual activity can heighten the sexual experience. That's only a lot of instructions here, man. It's not just the body, of course. And also say you shouldn't forget to pay some attention to your brain. Your orgasm starts with your mind and not your fingers. Your clit is like a non-player character in a video game.
Non-player.
Yeah, he's some nerdy ladies. I like them. It's only going to do something when the game wants it to. You can click on the NPC all day, but unless the quest has been started, nothing is going to happen.
So you and your tools, y'all going on an RPG then?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, sex and the safety and the all that stuff, the mental aspect of it, I'm sure it has a ton to do with it. Especially considering the different life experience for women to men when it comes to sex and orgasm and consent and sexual experience and history and shit like that. Like, I can see why safety might be a higher priority than even like arousal. Like, to get arousal, I gotta feel a certain type of way about this person I'm with.
Yeah, and safety doesn't always mean like safe space. Safety can mean, do I feel safe enough around you to be free?
Yeah, emotionally, mm-hmm. Are you gonna judge me?
Right.
Am I gonna be called a hoe afterwards?
Right. Those are the biggest things, and factors. And a lot of times, men hurt themselves from being judgmental. Like, it's women that can teach you a thing or two and change your whole world upside down, but you too busy, in your mind judging her. She's like, I'm not gonna do that shit because I don't know what you're gonna think about me.
Right. So she also goes on to say that, what was the other quote? Women were physically aroused equally by the male and female in porn, but reportedly getting much more turned on by the woman created smut. According to a study, the man-made film evoked more feelings of shame, guilt, and aversion for women, even though they simultaneously felt some feelings of sexual arousal. Anxiety is a leading killer of women's sex drive, said Morse, when they're stressed, angry, or attention spans have been diluted to that of a gnat. The last thing on the mind is sex.
Right. Right, for real. Like, and a lot of people wonder why, and for a lot of women, especially if they have a lot of things going on in their lives, sex is the first thing to go. Like, if you're stressed at work, stressed at home, you're devoting time to your kids, you're drugging a lot of shit happening to family members, and you go, I'm putting too much energy in this. No, I don't want to fuck you. Like, I don't have, like, the mental capacity just is not there.
Yeah. Also, I mean, anxiety, can come from the partner as well. It can come from internal shit. Like, it's a lot of stressors to a relationship and a lot of stressors even when you're single. It's just, right. Because it's not just about sex with a partner or whatever. In this case, it could be masturbation. People don't feel anything for that,
right? Because we've been taught you don't touch down there. Most women have been taught that, you keep your legs closed, you don't touch down there, you don't do no form of stimulation. Most teenage girls don't masturbate. You should have some adult women who don't masturbate, never masturbate, don't know how. Adult women that don't have sex toys wouldn't even dream about purchasing a dildo or vibrator or even a little bunny rabbit. Like, they were like, nope, I'm not supposed to do this. My body is fuck it, and that's it. And I think a lot of times society put women in a box with their sexuality, and women put themselves in a box with their sexuality, and a lot of times those quote-unquote women are the good women to a lot of these dudes. They get them, then they're like, well, bitch, you boring. Yeah, a lot of times they boring because that's what society has taught them that you want a straight laced, always doing missionary style type of woman, and that's what I'm gonna be because that's what society has taught me.
Well, also, I mean, this is only talking about women who are having trouble achieving orgasm. Because obviously there's a ton of women that don't have trouble and they don't, mm-hmm. and none of this shit would apply to them anyway. Right. But, it's like, this isn't a one size fits all for every woman. True. But, it's just kind of saying for a lot of people, if the anxiety and anticipation and whatnot is taking over, maybe, you kind of have to worry about other factors before you even get to just sexual stimulation and arousal.
Right. Cause there's many layers to it. I think, yeah, like you, it's almost like the conditions have to be right, if that makes sense.
Well, she talked about, with masturbation, like you should make sure you have time. Cause a lot of times people are rushing it. She said you might get performance anxiety and things of that nature. So, you know, and also if you, not all women reach orgasm, and if, that's okay as well. Like, you know, you shouldn't, because I think whether it's through fiction, whether it's through pornography, whether it's through whatever, we all kind of get the idea of the perfect sexual experience and two people grind on each other and then they both come at the same time and then the movie credits start, you know, they smoke a cigarette.
False.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the depiction that is sold to us. So right. People feel like they failed, you know,
if they don't accomplish those.
Yeah. Things, men right? Don't come every time in some cases. Mm-hmm. And we attach that to not only virility and manhood, but we attach that to women too. Like, you didn't make him come. You're a terrible woman, you know?
Right.
So it's a lot of factors that go into this shit, and I think a lot of people psychologically can get hung up, but
yeah,
I just thought that article was interesting.
Yeah, they can, like I said, especially when it comes to women, because like I said, it's a lot to us, you know. We're not these simple creatures as people quote unquote want to portray us to be when it comes to sex and sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else happened. University plans to sue a student newspaper for reporting a professor's sexual assault cases.
But ain't that their job?
James Harwood.
It's the paper, right?
It's the school student newspaper. James Harwood, an associate professor of entomology at the University of Kentucky, resigned in February after he was charged with sexual assault and harassment against two students. The result of the private internal investigation at the university confirmed the two claims, and the recommendations by the university was for the professor to resign and for his tenure to be revoked. Though no official cause was publicly given for his departure, the student newspaper began its own investigation. Now, as a result of the Colonel publishing 10 stories on the matter, the university intends to sue the student publication in order to bar them from revealing the details of the 122 page internal investigation that were leaked to them anonymously. The paper had taken the case to Kentucky's Attorney General Andy Beshear, who inevitably ruled that the university must release the documents to the paper. This is what that point I was making about universities,
mm-hmm.
and why you can't say shit like, well, it's just a black man raping a white woman, they trying to frame him and shit, when it comes to like Nate Parker and stuff. University culture is one of covering these things up.
Right.
They did an investigation. They clearly found some cause to not only get rid of him, they got rid of his tenure, which is huge in that, you know,
in that culture.
Yeah, like
122 page report. You found something, dog.
Right. And their thing was, let's not report it, let's not make anything official, we don't want to add this to probably your Title IX stats, you don't want to add this to in the database for the crime stats, you would rather this just go the fuck away. You pay the victim off, just like they did with Nate Parker, you pay right. the victim off and you get it to go away. This is why you can't bring that shit up, because universities absolutely feel that it is in their benefit to cover these things up.
Right. And the school, that's why when you said, I was like, well, the school newspaper, their job is
student newspaper.
Right. Their job is to report the news about shit that happened on campus. And they basically had to take you to court. You lost. So you say, well, fuck it. We're going to sue you because we lost. So we had to give you these papers.
Right. But the student newspaper is different than a school publication. You know, these students have different goals and shit in mind. Okay. They don't have a university that they're beholden to that way.
True.
You know, like, to them, especially, you know, that's why students and universities are such a, like, dangerous combination to the old mentality of, like, tradition and this and that. Because at the end of the day, you're asking people to come in and not express the very youthful exuberance that you claim to want at school.
You don't want that.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when we got to Fayetteville State and it was like freshmen not being able to have visitation, mm-hmm. i.e. sex, is bullshit, and we challenged it and fought it, and there were school meetings and all these things had to happen, but they fought against it. And it's because, which is so funny, because it's like the very thing that you say you want us for is what you fight against. Because
right.
what the other side of this is rigid, just structural education, like, and you want to, and it's going to bump heads. So in this case, you do run up against an institution that is like, we will fucking sue you. We will take you to court to make sure that you don't put this information out here. When it's like, why? What did y'all do wrong? Why y'all don't want this out here?
Why is it covered up? Who knows how many, how many victims?
Right.
B, how long they've known about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they've ignored this. And they don't want to get out because they know it'll make them look terrible.
Yep.
And it would not surprise me if this is not the first professor that this has happened to.
It does make you wonder who else. The investigation into James Harwood found that he had violated campus policies against sexual assault by fondling two students at conferences in prior years. He also allegedly sexually harassed them, and over the course of the investigation, three other students came forward, though only as witnesses and not in a formal complaint. The university eager to protect his privacy said they plan on pursuing the documents,
even though he committed a crime.
Right, but we need to protect his privacy, Karen. We don't want him to be embarrassed by the things he did. They plan on pursuing the documents leak into a court of law. Our university cannot and should not decide when it's appropriate to violate a victim survivor's privacy and a victim survivor's trust by providing information to the... Wait a minute.
So basically they're trying...
So they're acting like we're doing this for the victims of this dude.
They're not.
But
they're actually doing to protect him, but using the victims as a forefront or as a shield to protect. The real thing is that you don't want his business to get out there, but whatever he did, it was egregious enough to take his tenure, because the thing about, you know, universities and shit, when you get tenure, that's a big thing, and some people never get
but it. But he lost his tenure.
Right, for them to strip it away,
right,
meant whatever you did was egregious enough where we go, nah, dawg, you can't
and
do this.
For the record, he's now denying any wrongdoing and saying he left for family medical reasons. So they are complicit in this shit. Like, the university cannot, when you go to court for this, like, you are complicit in this. And now you make me wonder if you're not covering up because of, you know, his privacy or the victims, but because of whatever your role was in those 122 pages that shows whatever you did to discourage this from being a more public matter.
People ignored, right. People didn't do what they were supposed to do, like with the Penn State. Joe Paterno knew. Of course Joe Paterno knew. And people try to act, no, no. Somebody knew. Somebody knew. These victims had went to somebody. He did this years ago, so that meant some of these students have probably graduated, no longer there, dropped out. They have, you know, but we're concerned about the victims, though.
As for the Colonel's editor-in-chief, the school newspaper, Marjorie Kirk, says she has no plans of backing down. It's incredibly disappointing to find out that your university is protecting someone like this, or doesn't have the best interest of its students in mind, she said.
Come on.
Now it makes you wonder, though. What do you think they do when a student assaults another student?
Nothing.
What do you think they do when a athlete assaults another student?
Definitely nothing.
Yeah.
Because you bring the money.
Yeah, really makes you wonder. All right, let's get into some fucking with black people over here, guys. Oh, that's right, because of Facebook, I got to log back into Spotify. Thank you. Thank you, troll. Appreciate your contribution to the show. All right, here we go. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that you all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we pick different articles and we score them from 0 to 100 intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. First of all, a North Carolina pastor for Trump says he wants to end joblessness by returning blacks to Africa to build roads. Mm-hmm.
And Pastor, I need to ask you about something, because you have your own plan to create jobs for African Americans. You talk of dual citizenship. What do you mean by dual citizenship?
Well, thank you for the question. Dual citizenship, African Americans are the only people in the world do not seek dual citizenship. That's why Chicago gangs, California gained the Crips and the Blood, and in Detroit, Michigan. We have gangs in the street because blacks have no vision. They have no leadership. I understand.
Well, what do you mean by dual citizenship? Because you've also talked about building a road back to Africa. Can you explain that for us?
She started busting laughing.
The sister started laughing. She's like, is this nigga serious?
Didn't want the bottom, yeah.
She couldn't even hold the laughing. That is the best part of this whole video. That 45 seconds.
Africa.
It got off guard.
Can you explain that for us?
Yes, I can. Thank you so for the question. Matter of fact,
the black woman next to him started laughing.
All right.
She was like, oh, road to Africa. This nigga is crazy. Why am I here?
Right.
He ain't telling
where our ancestors came from.
She must be there to operate the remote or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes, because if not, they probably wouldn't be on camera.
How does camera work, baby? Can you show me how?
How to turn on Skype?
Okay, Uncle Ashley, hold on a second.
From the Indian Ocean all the way across to the Atlantic Ocean, that is 4,000 miles. And we want to go back and help build highways all the way across to create jobs, train rails, pipelines, oil, petroleum. They create jobs for young people, can't find jobs here, that the Democrats had not did. And I think it would give young people in prison, just like Great Britain did it. And I was in Great Britain a few years ago.
So what you're suggesting, just so I can be clear, what you're suggesting is that African Americans living here who are in trouble should go back to Africa, perhaps, to find jobs?
Not to go back to, but I'm saying return. It's a clause in the United Nations Charter. A right to return, to help build infrastructure.
But you are saying return, right? You just said not to return to no, it's a clause to return. You gotta go back, is what I'm saying.
They give young people something to do. Everybody don't want to stay here. We are skilled people. We have
skilled people. Yes, we are skilled people.
He said we're skillet people, like, you know, pots and pans.
We skilled people.
Oh, we're cast iron?
Yes, that's good hard stuff.
We are cast iron out of Africa and into this country. Where we are been fried up, seasoned.
Smothered, covered, chomped.
We are seasoned people.
So Angela
Jefferson, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get Angela's take on your idea to create jobs.
So I guess I'm confused. I'm not sure if you're talking about building a literal bridge back to Africa or you're talking about working on actual infrastructure to build roads in Africa. If you're talking about building a bridge back to Africa, I think that's probably impossible. I apologize for laughing, but I'm not quite sure which engineer you met that with. But I'm sorry. Okay, so in terms of, you know, creating jobs in Africa, I think that's admirable. I just would encourage you to talk to candidates that actually.
My God, I don't even know what to say, man. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
We have legitimate ideas as opposed to the one you've endorsed, Donald Trump.
Okay, well, yes. I have to leave it there. Angela Rye, Katrina Rogers, and Apostle Thomas Rogers, thanks to all of you for being with me.
I really hate that they,
Hey everyone, and welcome back.
I really hate that they even wasted Angela Rye's time with that. She really had to be the black person on there to be like, a bridge to Africa. Okay. All right, coming up next, you know, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, he got
100.
Yeah, who gave this man the title of apostle?
I don't know. Or apostle is probably what he thinks.
Ah, yes!
We all skillet peoples. This woman said she was fired from an upscale hotel over her dreadlocks. After 7 months of unemployment, Rachel Sakabo was overjoyed when she got the call for an interview at the front desk position at the 5-star St. Regis Hotel in Manhattan. I was floored, she said. Oh my God, it's the St. Regis. It's super prestigious. I want this. She's a 32-year-old who came to the U.S. from the Congo when she was 2 years old. After numerous interviews, she began work in early August and went through her orientation, much of which focused on how to speak and represent herself. And when holding a highly visible position at the front desk, After 5 years of working at the legendary Rainbow Room restaurant in the top floor of the Rockefeller Center and at the hotel in Manhattan's Theater District, Sakabo says she was accustomed to the certain state of decorum and the language you maintain while working at a place like St. Regis. But just less than 2 weeks into her new role at the hotel's front desk, which with things going really well, it all ended. Her bosses told her, she claims, she was being let go because she wasn't a good fit with the culture of St. Regis. She believes her firing had everything to do with her hairstyle, which is dreadlocks. BuzzFeed News contacted Starwood's Hotel, the parent company of St. Regis, on multiple occasions for comment over the firing and their policy on braids, but did not receive a response at time publication.
Because they don't have a policy on braids in the book, but yeah.
During her interviews, orientation, and first weeks of work, she had her hair in dreadlocks. But nearly 2 weeks into her new role, the front desk manager, who was also one of the people who interviewed her and knew of her dreadlocks, informed her of a hotel policy about braids. "You're not supposed to have braids at the front desk," she recalls the manager telling her. "Well, don't worry, they aren't braids, they're locks." "Well, can
there
you
there is a difference, but they don't, they all look the same to them."
"Well, can you unlock them?" the manager responded.
"What? No."
"Well, then can you get them a sense of not being dreaded? No dread?" Sakabo explained to her manager that dreads could only be cut off and not unlocked. She said she would be willing to go bald in the effort to show her manager that she was willing to address the issue and keep her job. After a brief discussion, she said she excused herself to the restroom and cried. She confided with a colleague at the hotel, an African-American woman, who encouraged her to see the hotel union representative. The representative told her she couldn't be helped by the union until a 60-day probationary period of employment had passed. So basically, you're powerless until 60 days in. So if they fire you now, you're done. So she had no recourse in a situation like this. And she said it's in the collective bargaining agreement that management has the right to terminate an employee with or without cause within the 60-day probationary period without any recourse for the union's arbitration machinery. Around a week after the conversation about her hair, she kept her dreadlocks. She said she was called into a meeting with the front desk and a union delegate who was also at the hotel. She was asked if she was in trouble, but she was told it was nothing like that. It was worse, she said. I told her she was not a good fit and she was being let go. She kept asking, "What does not being a good fit mean?" And the response was, "You don't fit the culture here." After hearing that, I asked, "What does that mean exactly?" The union delegate allegedly told her, "You don't fit our culture here. You may be better suited for maybe a W hotel," implying that things were a bit more relaxed at another hotel chain. The issue of her hair never came up in the meetings, but she believes her firing had everything to do with her dreadlocks.
I do too.
Yeah, that's also wild too, because you know that it's one of those things where as a black person, you automatically go, "I know this is racism," but there's just plausible deniability enough for them to be like, "It had nothing to do with that."
Come on.
You know, well, everything else is fine. I was on time. I was, yeah, well, culturally, you just don't fit. What does that mean?
That's a very, very vague language.
Yeah. She added, "At no time during orientation or interviews was there any mention of her hairstyle or hairstyles in general." Yeah. Like maybe a big wig saw her and just was like, "What the fuck?" You know?
Right. And started asking. Right.
Right.
It sounded like she had worked at high end before. Like this is her thing. And so she was probably qualified for the job.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, they let her go. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that's 100.
Yeah, 100 for me as well. Oh, dude, what'd you get at first? The bridge to Africa people. Did we do that?
Oh, a pie style. Get 100.
Yeah, 100. 100 for the skillet people.
Yes.
Here's a nice one. But it's ain't fucking with black people, don't forget. So with all this heartbreaking news online every day, it's good to have a great story you can bring up. This is littlethings.com telling you this great story, guys.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, some strangers paid for a meal when they saw this black man with his son, Kevin and Kevon Jr., Kevon Smith Jr. He was doting on his child, you know, eating. His son's 3 months old. and he enjoys breakfast. He goes, you know, goes outside, and there's a note on his car at the Cracker Barrel, and it says, today your meal is on my wife and me. Enjoy that baby boy as long as God intends. Keep doing what you're doing, the Masons. And along with the note, there was also cash for his meal. And that really struck a chord with Kevon, and he told Cleveland 19 News that he grew up without a father. There's a lot of guys I know that aren't taking care of their kids, Kevon said. To show that not all of us are out here being gangbangers, some of us are out here being fathers. He's also a coach, and he teaches his children more than just sports. He quit a paying coach job to volunteer at a football team in his community to try and teach them positivity and show them how to work towards a future. He plans to tell his son about the stranger's kindness when he is older. He wants to teach Kevon Jr. that kindness can go a very long way. I'm definitely going to make sure I'm paying it forward, Kevon says. I get blessed. I want to bless someone else. He's also is an artist who wrote the song Going Up for his song. Okay. Going Up.
When I drop to my knees, them prayers coming up, up, up. Them blessings showing up, up, up. I don't know how to repay you, but I wanna say thank you. When I drop to my knees, prayers going up, up. When I drop to my knees, prayers going up, up.
Love. Thank God I feel I got a victory. I was blessed with a baby that resembles me. Same name, no skin tone, everything. We love the same woman, she had everything. Man, his mama's great. Count the chicks I had and did it, promise she my favorite. And it's not because we created the blessing thing. We was still up in school, how we be learning them lessons together. I hope never we ever splitting apart. And if the day ever comes, just know you always my heart. My heart, rib, bloodline, backbone. So deep in love with you, girl, I can back strong.
Them prayers coming up, up, up. Them blessings showing up, up, up. I don't know how to repay you, but I wanna say
thank you. When I drop to my knees, prayers go up, up. When I drop to my knees, prayers go up. Now, this is for my only son. Had the healthy baby boy, thank the Holy One. On May 6th, I made a promise when I held you that I'ma be the man you wanna be.
Alright, and he goes by Kevon on SoundCloud. So zero.
A very positive song.
Very positive. 0 to 100, Karen.
At first, I was like, what? But I think this gets a zero for the fact that I really don't think they meant no harm.
Oh, I don't think the people that gave him the money or anything meant any harm.
Right.
I think his thing about we not all gangbangers and out here, that was a little sketchy, a little respectability-ish for me. But I'm going to give him a zero as well, man. Like, you know, he just seemed like a positive dude. His music seemed like some old, like, born-again-ass shit. Good for you, Kevon, and your kid, and your happy song and stuff, man, and volunteering, coaching and shit, man. Like, sometimes I think in the new era of the internet and everyone flexing how big their brain is with telling everything how problematic everything is, and you have to fit all the perfect opinions and all the perfect shit, sometimes I think we have people that are genuinely good people that get lost in the sauce, mm-hmm. because it's not, you know, Twitter woke enough for people. But I understand his point, and I think there's people whose hearts are in the right place, and they say stuff like that and they don't mean nothing bad by it,
right?
And I hate, you know, I hate when people are like, we not out here gang banging and shit. But at the same time, I don't know his life. Maybe where he's from, it is a whole lot of gang banging.
Right.
Maybe where he's from, you know, with his father not raising him, that might put the personal conviction on him to be a better father or to be a father at all. You know, I know that's part of the conviction for my dad to be a good father, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can't always take people and put them into the, you know, it will they, you know, can they fit the narrow slate of opinions that we've defined as acceptable. So maybe his language wasn't the greatest choice, or maybe, you know, he was just speaking his mind or whatever when it comes to the pitfalls of for black people, you know. Yeah. And so anyway, when I first read it, I remember feeling like, I wish he hadn't said the shit about the gang banging and we're not all thugs and all this. But you know what, fuck it, man. Like, dude out here volunteering, helping the kids and shit too, man. That's dope. So zero.
Yes, he gets zero from me too.
And shout out to that family that hooked up his meal at the Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. You know, they say a lot of people don't think that we go to the Cracker Barrel, but you're wrong. We do. All right, it's time to get into I think it's about time we can do some white people white people music. Where did my list go? Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. That's why. So I think we can get into some white people music, and I think people will like that. Let me see, what song am I gonna pick today? People always
they went in anticipation.
People always, how about this one?
On the other side of the street, I knew a student girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you knew that the West LA, New York, Santa Fe, or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one night was feeling just right. Scared as hell because I really fell for you. Oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. This is not a drive-by. I just a shy guy looking forward to fly. Hefty bag to hold my I love way you do me. Everything is groovy. They don't like it to me. Oh, the way you move me. Oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. This is not a drive-by. On the upside, to a downward spiral. My love for you went viral. And I loved you every mile. You drove away. But now here you are again. So let's skip to how you been. And get down to the morning, friend. And at last. Oh, but that one night is still the high.
All right. Enough jamming. All right, guys, white people news. The homeless dude that Miley Cyrus took to the VMAs, remember him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is major white people news. He is selling her VMA Moon Man award on eBay. Yeah, so I mean, it makes sense. I mean, he was homeless when you took him, then you gave him your award. I mean,
he might now
need the $10,000. It's his.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he be mad? Because that's his award.
He gave a moving speech to raise awareness about homeless teens, and Miley cried at the award. Well, he's selling it for just $10,100. According to TMZ, he's on a hot streak and just bought a studio apartment in LA, and he's selling her award because he's expecting a child in just a few months.
Oh, mm-hmm. He ain't homeless no more, is he?
Yep. So it's for Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball. You can have it for the low, low price of $10,100.
Low, low.
Let's see what else happened. Speaking of white people, Steve-O of the show Jackass, one of the whitest shows of all time.
Yes. Is that show still on?
I don't think so.
Okay. I think after one of the members died, they stopped recording, right?
No, they stopped before he died, but okay. They had stopped. Well, Steve-O is 42 years old, J.L. Covan's favorite comedian. You know, J.L. used to open for Steve-O, you know.
Ah.
So hopefully one day if J.L. plays his cards right, you know, he'll get to do it again. But Steve-O broke both of his legs in a skateboard stunt filmed by Tony Hawk.
Oh!
Yeah. What a jackass.
Oh, and you 42, dog. We don't heal back as quick, so... Mm-hmm. No, look here, break their leg. They be like, oh, you'll be back in 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-mm. They be like, you'll be out for 8 to 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or longer. And you'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both up.
Mess your dumb ass down.
Yep. As Martin would say.
Mess your dumb ass down.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, I have a question. So was he doing it for promotional? Was they were just joking around and he was like, let me show you this, Tony?
I mean, I can show you what happened if you want to see. He was on this big ass box right here with a skateboard.
Oh,
looks a good 10 to 12 feet in high off the ground.
Yes, it does.
And then a car was to drive into it and collapsed the platform, and then he's supposed to use his skateboard to land on the asphalt, and instead he landed and broke both his legs. Oh. Yep.
Oh.
Mhm.
Shit, I don't even want to trip off a fucking curb. I know I ain't gonna be on top of a fucking box.
I guess he can't kick it anymore.
Mm-mm.
Just don't have a leg to stand on, Steve-O.
Nope. Not a single solitary one.
Yep.
Skateboard one, you too.
Two broke legs.
Mm-hmm. No, sir.
Oprah.
Sounds about right. Keep going.
I don't know why I cracked myself up. I put the article in here. In white people news, Oprah, because white people love some Oprah.
You better not say nothing bad about Oprah.
Mm-hmm. She has lost enough weight that she says she can straddle Stedman without breaking his back.
Ah, shit now.
And she proudly showed off her trim figure. She's 62 years old. And she revealed that she would like Stedman 65 to pick up and carry her to the pool now that she is sporting a trimmer figure.
Oh shit, now I can't wait for that next old magazine. She gonna be stunting on him.
She said her fantasy was inspired by a sexy scene from the network's upcoming original drama series, Queen Sugar. The media mogul showed off her svelte frame on the red carpet at the Queen Sugar premiere on Monday. She started the program of Weight Watchers last August and has yet to reveal her total weight loss, but she announced in January she'd already shed 26 pounds. Now here's how you know Oprah is still the baddest when it comes to this. She invested in, in Weight Watchers. She didn't just join in. She's a stockholder. So whatever positive PR comes out of this situation, if they make any money, the come up is all Oprah, because she ain't no dummy. She's a boss. So yeah, I just thought that was some boss like shit.
Yeah, I don't only use Weight Watchers. I'm also a member.
Mm-hmm. I'm not only a client, but I'm the president.
Yeah, she is.
So there you go, Oprah.
Business sense.
Yep. Better watch your back, Stedman. Somebody gonna try to slide up in them DMs.
Come on, dog.
Josh Homer said that on my Twitter, but he said some granddaddy gonna try to slide up. I'm like, nah, better watch you young boys.
Right.
Young boys will slide right up on in there.
Mm-hmm. Be more than happy to be her cub.
Iggy Azalea is getting jiggy with French Montana now.
That's a rapper, right?
French Montana used to date the Kardashians, one of the Kardashians, Khloe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Iggy used to date Nick Young. So it's like they both have a type. He's into white women with plastic surgery asses, and she's into fuck boys. You know, it seems like everybody's getting what they want.
A win-win.
I know they both enjoy secretly saying nigger all the time. Cause they both rapping, but they not black. I know they be freestyling together good, but yeah, they were spotted kissing and shit. Like, it's not a like, this isn't one of those situations where it's like
anybody guessing
that they hanging out, but who knows. Like, that's a picture of them kissing right there on this yacht. So even after Nick Young, she still afforded that. And they had a couple obligatory booty shots too, like, you know, it's still Iggy. So, you know, that's, I feel like what happens is the less famous you are, the more you need the PR, the more body you start showing when you're not that talented at rapping. And everybody's number one priority has been to see Iggy's booty, and now it's about that time. Like, we're starting to see a whole lot of butt shots in these pictures now, and I think it's because she knows that the clock is ticking on them 15 minutes. So it's like, mm-hmm. let me get to showing y'all some ass so, you know, I can stick around, you know, in this game, because if not, after this is sex tapes. I mean, don't nobody want to see a bunch of nothing else, you know. That's why it pays to have talent. Our long national nightmare is over, white folks. Justin Bieber has reactivated his Instagram account.
Ooh, I was worried.
Listen,
I'm so glad the Bieber came back.
Nobody blames you for being worried, okay? Thank you, Justin.
Canada is popping maple syrup.
And he accidentally did a Snapchat too. So,
shit now.
There we go, guys. I'm just got him back on Instagram. I know he was in some hot water for dating that underage girl, but I guess she had a birthday now and everybody's really excited about it. So he can come out
she's
of the
18 now?
Instagram closet. Yeah. All right. So let's see. Is there anything other white new people news I care about? Starting to pile up, but I don't care about white folks news that much. All right, let's go to let's go to some Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we find articles from all over the globe and we ask our contestants today, the chat room and Karen, to guess the race. And you guys are all tremendous racists. All right, let's get up in here. An Alabama man, 55, accidentally shoots a UPS driver with a crossbow bolt while doing target practice in his front yard.
White.
Okay, Karen's going with white right out of the gate. That is amazing.
Green Arrow or white?
So apparently, he has been shot a UPS driver in the chest. He's an Alabama man. He was doing target practice in the front yard. The front yard.
We didn't go to the backyard. I'm gonna do target practice right here.
Shooting his crossbow. Just practicing. He shot the driver who sat in his delivery truck. Gant said he overshot a target when he accidentally hit the man. The crossbow bolt went through the driver's upper right arm and lodged in his right chest. Pinned his arm to his chest. The UPS truck was in motion at the time the driver was hit. Said the bolt flew into the cab and struck the man.
He gotta cause that man to kill himself. Flip the truck over and everything.
He stayed with the driver until the ambulance arrived, according to the Advertiser, which I guess is the newspaper. The injured driver was transported to Baptist South Medical Center in stable condition with non-life-threatening injuries.
Well, could you imagine that story? People gonna think he lying. But like, man, I was on my shift and got shot with an arrow. Man, ain't nobody shoot you. They did. They really shot me with an arrow, dog.
With a crossbow.
Right.
Like, who you think you is? The Walking Dead, nigga? They ain't get shot.
Who shot you? Robin Hood. Robin Hood shot you?
All right. Stop making shit up. This is why I don't fuck with you.
Nah, I'm telling you. I had to go to the hospital and everything. They ain't gonna believe
me. They ain't gonna believe you, dog.
Because I barely believe the story.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so
Oliver and Diggle came out and shit. That's what happened with this story. White
Roy came through.
Yes,
he's like, I'm back, Arrow. I also lost an arm.
Yes.
All right, so guess the race. Mr. Ronald Curtis Grant, 55-year-old crossbow enthusiast. Karen, you going white?
Nah, I'm sticking with it.
Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Be glad he didn't have a gun. White Hawkeye trying to prove his worth. Oh. He saw the brown truck and got nervous. White, I gotta go secure my neighborhood. Rambo White, Robin Hood, Robin Whitehood. Oh, that's perfect. Sweet Home Alabama White, excited to see Bieber return White. Eli has gone too far this time. White, all right, guys. Daryl Dixon, the correct answer is he was a white man. And I think someone said Elon, and I'm gonna let it slide because he's technically James White. So mm-hmm. There you go. Everybody got it right. Let's go to the bonus round. I'm not gonna play the bonus round music, but yeah.
Yeah, because he'd have been black, I'd have been shocked.
Everybody would have been shocked. a man, 31 years old, let his two friends watch him have sex on FaceTime with a date he met on OkCupid without her knowing. He then high-fived the pair in a car where they were waiting outside.
What? Did he get arrested? What's happening with
this
story?
Well, we wouldn't be reading the story if he got away with it, Karen. How would I know his race and all that shit?
Okay.
What?
My mom's putting that together listening to you going, wait a minute, that was a crime that was committed.
Mm-mm-mm. She do the show every day just like y'all. She don't know what's going on.
I don't.
This the crime section of the show. Have we ever had one where I went, I don't know.
I don't know what happened to him.
I don't know if he got arrested or not, Karen. I'm just making it up.
You gonna tell me that one day and be serious. I'm like, nah.
A 31-year-old man has been arrested after allegedly let two friends watch him have sex on FaceTime with a woman he met online without her consent. Angel Natal matched with the victim on OkCupid and then agreed to meet her at Bridgeport, Connecticut Park. The pair connected, so the woman decided to go back to an apartment with him. Man, I know you could do that on OkCupid. I thought that was more of a Tinder thing. Okay, player. The police said the two were having consensual sex when the woman noticed he kept looking back over his shoulder. That's how you get caught. Kept looking at the camera trying to make sure it was on. The woman then looked in the mirror and saw an iPhone that was on FaceTime with two men watching them have sex. Oh, this amateur hour, bro. This is like that episode of Black Mirror for Christmas, man, where they watch that dude have sex and he ended up getting killed. The cop said the man hung up the call when the woman became upset. Of course. When she left the apartment, the two men she had seen on the phone drove up and high-fived them. Oh, God. It's like they were begging her to call the cops. Because, like, she probably was chalking it up to, like, what a shitty dude in a shitty evening. That's what I get for going on. Okay, you probably blaming herself and shit. And then that motherfucker got high-fived and she said, oh.
Oh, we high-fiving? High-five this bitch.
Mm-hmm. She probably, you think...
You think this is a game?
Yeah, you think I'm crazy, huh?
Oh, because I know where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Oh, bitch, it ain't me. Caps, caps, caps. Who are you finna... Mm-hmm.
That's, I guarantee that's how I went down. She, oh, okay. I bet it ain't me. So, yeah, she saw them high five, and as a result, she reported them to the police.
Correct.
What a douche anyway. Like, he had no like, you didn't feel bad about getting caught. You didn't feel bad about recording her in the first place. And you high-fived your boys in front of her. It's like something that you would write out of, like if you were writing a high school drama in 2016, you would write it this way. You know what I mean? You would write it so that he's this much of a douche, so that the audience knows that there's no redeemable qualities in this dude.
Yeah, Tyler Perry wrote this.
Right. So she called the police. Police said they later confronted him, who admitted to having his cell phone set on the video chat app. So he recorded the pair having sex. They said he told him, it's porn. I like to watch porn. Sir, that's making porn, and porn requires consent. Like, people,
right
sign things,
waivers. Yeah,
I mean, well, I guess not all porn does, because there's entire sections for voyeur porn and shit,
but so. Even with that,
the hidden person cameras,
the person consented.
No. So I guarantee you that, I guarantee you not everybody know that they, you know, getting filmed and shit.
Oh shit.
So he probably just one of those people that just, he does that, you know, post it online somewhere or whatever.
Oh, and a person never know.
That's why I always say, man, look, you don't know if a person love you till they post a video on the sex, site. And if they blur both of y'all faces out, then they love you. They just blur their own.
Ah! Then that love ain't real.
He ain't real, girl. Don't date him. Yeah, but yeah, he was charged with voyeurism and held on $15,000 bond. Ooh, I didn't know it was that expensive.
What the hell's a voyeurism? Where's we going?
Not voyage, voyeurism. It's an entire segment of porn, by the way, voyeurism.
Oh, okay.
It's the sexual interest in or practice of spying on people engaging in intimate behaviors.
Okay.
Such as undressing, sexual activity, or other actions, usually. So, yeah, he got charged with that because that's a crime.
Right.
Which is funny. Not a crime everywhere. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Not a crime everywhere.
Yeah, just like fucking animals, ain't a crime everywhere.
like, that's the thing. The law needs to catch up with the internet, because I bet you there's places where that's not really on the books or whatnot.
When you go reporting, nobody take that shit seriously.
Yeah, and then depending on certain states and jurisdictions, some shit is legal. Like, upskirt videos and shit like that. There's some places where you can just do it. It's like, you were in public, you're on public street, I can film up your skirt, and there's nothing you can do about it, because legally the law never thought of this.
You creep no one and you have to fucking fight to get it off the books.
At any rate, guess his race.
He's white.
Karen's going with white for Angel Natal. All right, let's check.
His friends is white too.
I don't have pictures of his friends. Yeah, they didn't get charged with nothing. No, that's interesting. So you can watch it, but you just can't film it.
Yeah, I guess the crime is actually recording.
Maybe. Oh, the broadcasting. Because right. I don't know if FaceTime records it.
I don't think, no.
So, okay. The broadcasting of it must be the crime, but actually being on the other end watching is not a crime?
Mm-mm.
That's interesting.
Right.
Let's see what the chat room says. Ryan Lochte White, she can make you put your phone down in the landscape mode. Of course, white. One who uses the line, you want to go up for a nightcap, white. Boys will be boys. Cut them some slack, white. The high fives were awkward or coordinated. I'm going to be honest, y'all. I feel like this dude's race is some version of like Latino or brown. So I'm gonna go with Boo on this one. I will show you his picture, and you guys can judge for yourself if y'all think I'm wrong, but like, you can see from his hairline and his beard, he looks some kind of like Latino or something. Plus his first name is Angel, so I'm gonna go with he's some type of brown. Either way, creepy as fuck.
I'll take that, Boo.
All right, let's do sword ratchetness and we'll get out of here, guys. All right. Where is sword sound effect? And that's why you don't film me having sex, bitch.
Ain't that the truth?
Let's see here. A 47-year-old man was allegedly murdered by his own son-in-law and three men armed with samurai swords in his house.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. On a Saturday night. Andy Arif Fatah died at the scene around 7:45 p.m. after he was slashed on the shoulder, neck, hips, elbows, and leg.
Ooh!
Wipe me down.
Ooh, chopped him up. Naruto, what's happening here?
His daughter, Lizma Elim, who was present at the scene when the incident took place, was reportedly unharmed. Apparently, he was reportedly often physically abused by her according to the wife who was there, or his daughter who was there, her husband would often physically abuse the father, you know, his father-in-law. She then decided to go and stay she would be abused by the husband. So she went to stay with the father, with her father.
Okay.
So the husband showed up with swords and killed the dad, or ended the dad. Killed him. Upon realizing that they had an intention to attack him, he quickly advised his friends to leave. But the upset son-in-law called three of his friends to come to the house and armed with samurai swords. One of Andy's son-in-law's friends then attacked him with the samurai sword, and in trying to evade the attack, he was slashed on the shoulder. Another friend then attacked the victim from behind. After Andy collapsed to the floor, he was further stabbed to the left elbow and leg by the other suspects. Andy died at the scene and was tended to by his wife until the police arrived. His body was brought to the hospital. Following the incident, police detained the first suspect around 1:40 a.m. Yesterday, and the second suspect around 6:20 a.m. on the same day.
Clan, that's what the hell that was.
Mm-hmm. The Leaf Village.
No, who's death y'all trying to avenge?
Then they got the last two suspects the same day. They were all aged 16 to 29 years old.
16
to 29 years old. Yep. And they all been taken to police headquarters.
Why is everybody white?
It's not a race thing, but it didn't show them. I don't have pictures to say what the race was, mm-hmm. but it didn't happen in America. It happened in like India or something. So, all right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Bye.